saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome, Red Sox fans. Here are the bastards of Boston baseball.
Welcome, everyone, to the ALDS Game 4 post-game show. The Red Sox have eliminated the Tampa Bay Rays and will advance to the ALCS. They are waiting for the winner of the Astros-White Sox series. Astros are up 2-1 on that series. They were rain delayed, so let's see. They'll have a game on Tuesday night and then on Wednesday. And then we'll know who we are playing on Friday in Game 1. Eduardo Rodriguez, Rafael Devers, and Kike Hernandez, the heroes. Garrett Whitlock, too, we should say, as well, for this Game 4. Jason Kelly, Charlie Smith with me tonight. How are you guys?
I'm excited. How can you not be? It was funny, too, because, you know, I know that I said Rays 3-2, but it was kind of following that script, right? I said, okay, split in Tampa, come back, win on Sunday. I figured Rays would win the next two. I didn't have a ton of faith in Rodriguez on the mound tonight. And granted, we didn't know it was going to be him. There was some talk of maybe Chris Sale, but it was Eduardo Rodriguez, and I didn't have a ton of faith. And he went out and pitched his guts out. He was great. And it was a bit up and down, but hey, you know, they pulled it out. So we got at least four more games. Can't go wrong with that.
So my favorite part about it was that Terry asked you, what do you think the series is going to be? And you said, coming into Monday morning, the Red Sox will be up 2-1. And Terry then finished, yeah, but the series winner. And you said Red Sox would lose in five, right? Yes, and I said the Red Sox would lose in four. Terry and I kind of shared that sentiment. And after the first game, I was like, all right, well, two of the next three, and that's it. And then we split. And then we all saw Game 3. Unbelievable. I mean, I have never been so happy to be wrong about a series ever. And Tampa Bay is still one of the best teams in baseball. They've got, in my opinion, some underrated players with immense talent. But what a way to go. Kike Hernandez, just wow. That's all I can say. Wow.
Do you guys want Jackie Bradley back next season instead of Kike?
Who's that?
I was kidding. I might have some fun with that on Twitter tomorrow, though. So with all the confidence in the world, I did pick the Rays to win this 3-1. I would have lost a lot of money if someone enticed me into making a bet. Thankfully, nobody did. But I didn't feel good. There wasn't any reason to believe the Red Sox were going to win after a bad Baltimore series, a Washington National series where they were hanging on for dear life, weren't stringing together hits, and then Game 1 of this first playoff series against the Rays, they were hammering us exactly the way I thought they were going to do it all series long. But luckily, Game 2, we kind of righted the ship, albeit with a bad Chris Sale start. But the bats came alive, and there were a lot of heroics in Game 3. namely Pivetta and Christian Vasquez. And then tonight, got it done. I will say this, though. After last night's game, my confidence was pretty high. I thought somehow, some way, we can probably do it. So, anyway, I can't believe we're going to the ALCS. We're going. There's only going to be two games in town after these series, and we're going to be one of them.
It's incredible. I mean, and like you said, the Red Sox sort of backpedaled into the playoffs. So I think that, you know, all three of us picked the Rays to win. And I think that that was somewhat justified at the time because they were slumping those last 2 weeks. Like, the Red Sox did not look good. I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. I don't care how happy you are that they're going to the ALCS right now. You can't deny the fact that they kind of crapped their pants the last 2 weeks. And they backpedaled in. They got a wild card game against New York. I think a New York team that was obviously flawed, but I said at the time, both teams are flawed. So Red Sox just happened to be better on that night. And it really was a case of just get in and see what happens. So I will say I agree sort of after Sunday, I had a lot more confidence. You know, being up 2-1, another game at Fenway, you know, they didn't want to go back to Tampa. That was the ultimate motivation, is just put it away tonight so that you don't have to get back on the plane and go to that rat hole stadium again and play a game five. Just wrap it up tonight. And again, a little bit up and down, but they got it done. That was huge.
I'm with you on that one. I don't remember what Job said. Did Job say Sox would lose in five or win in five?
He had them winning in exactly five.
Exactly five, and we all know Andrew picked the Sox in four, so he was the only one that got it right. I was on my way home, and I heard, oh, that's an RBI double. Oh, that's another double. There we go. And it's just things were not looking good, and I remember yelling, please put in Whitlock. Please put in Whitlock, not knowing if they were going to, you know, throw him in there or not. But I literally thought, if you put Garrett Whitlock in there, you're going to stop the bleeding. Please put him in. He's been so good. So good. And no, that's not, you know, the seventh inning at Fenway. It's just been so automatic. He has no fear. This is a guy that came into this season having spent no time above double A. No one really has no one had an in-depth shot or in-depth knowledge on him prior to this season. And even though he had like a little spell where he wasn't available, he was out, he's still one of the most untouchable players as far as the bullpen goes. I mean, you don't put Whitlock in there, we may be going to game five. And I'll be completely honest with you, what he did was heroic. I don't care what anybody says. That's incredibly important, because if we go to game five, I really don't know. I don't know how I feel about it if we go to game five.
He didn't really use up a ton of pitches. He got a lot of fast outs, and I think he would have come out for the 10th had we gone into extras. And Chris Sale was warming up, and I didn't like that. That made me really nervous, and so thank goodness we didn't have to go into extras. We had a little bit of luck in the final inning there. We got the leadoff single, and then I think, wasn't it Travis Shaw hit that kind of dribbler over to third, and then
misplayed.
Bad throw. Choi couldn't hang on to it. He got on, and we were kind of off to the races from there. So just a good inning there in the ninth to hold them and then win it in the bottom of the ninth. Eduardo Rodriguez, though, I mean, we got to give him his due, because there wasn't a ton of confidence amongst the fan base that he was going to go at least five innings. And I wouldn't say I was super confident, but he does typically bounce back from a bad start and have a pretty good one. And you could see that the fastball had a little bit more bite and he was on in that first inning. And once I saw that first inning, I knew he wasn't going to give up more than one or two runs by the end of the fifth. So clutch performance. And yeah, so getting it out of the way.
Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants pumpkins when you're grooming, if you know what I'm saying. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for a cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20. Then, after trimming the pumpkin patch and whacking the leaves, give your balls a boost and use Crop Reviver. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. Make your balls a priority this fall. Choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
So, Jason, thoughts on E-Rod?
Yeah, he was awesome. And, you know, you got to wonder if the idea or the possibility of, you know, if they lose tonight, this might be Rod Rodriguez's last start in a Red Sox uniform. You got to wonder if that played into it a little bit, if he sort of was extra amped because of that. And, you know, because of knowing his situation, that's going to be coming up in the offseason. I know a lot of players will tell you they don't think about that at these times of year, but they all do. Let's be real about it. They do. And he needs to deliver big time because he needs to prove that he's a reliable, solid starter in big spots like this. And he was awesome tonight. He did exactly that. So I love that out of him. It gives me a little bit more confidence of him pitching in the next series and potentially keeping Chris Sale away from a start, because I just don't have a lot of confidence in him right now. I kind of hope that we don't see Chris Sale in the ALCS, at least in a starting role. So if Eduardo Rodriguez can do this, and you've got Eovaldi doing what he's doing, maybe Nick Pivetta is your third guy, you're all set going into the ALCS. You should be good to go.
Charlie?
I'm with you. I want to double back on what you said about E-Rod, because I think Jobe said, oh yeah, 4+, maybe gets into the fourth inning. I was praying that he gave us 3, because I really did not give him any credit going into this game. I was nervous. I've been nervous about this whole series. I've been wrong this whole series. I've been right about very few things. Nick Pivetta doing what he did? Nope. Christian Vasquez with a game-winning 2-run homer? No. Kike Hernandez being the MVP of this entire series? Absolutely not. So it only makes sense that I would be wrong about E-Rod too. Like, I've been wrong a bit this year, and it's carried into the playoffs, you know? So I feel a little bit better, but whether we face Houston or Chicago, this starting rotation is going to have to give us minimum 4 or 5 innings. I mean, you're going to have to see E-Rod do exactly what he did again. You're going to have to see Pivetta do what he did as a starter. Chris Sale can't do anything remotely close to what he did in his only appearance against Tampa Bay. And Nasty Nate, I just hope he carries on where he left off. I mean, if we even get 3 of those 4 to do what they're doing right now, we'll be fine. But if it cracks in half and we go 2-2, it's going to be 7 games for sure.
As scary as it sounds, if we did go to a game 5, I think Chris Sale would have had to have been the starter. Pivetta wouldn't have been available. E-Rod not available. Eovaldi not available. Hauk was going to get used tonight. Well, maybe you could start Hauk for 3 innings, but at that point, that's the 3rd time they've seen him. And tonight, a little shaky being the 2nd time. So game 5 would have been pretty dicey had it taken place. So thank goodness the Red Sox got it done. And then Friday will be regular rest for Eovaldi. And he didn't go too many pitches, I don't think, on Sunday. So so we kind of know how that series will start. I'll say this, though. The Astros haven't seen Chris Sale since 2019. So maybe 1 start, you might be able to get away with it on a short leash, perhaps. But I certainly feel a lot better facing them than the Rays, who have seen him multiple times this year anyway. But hopefully they can find a relevant role for him in that series, if I'm wrong and he doesn't start. But building off of Rodriguez tonight, you need to be able to trust him. Because if he's going to turn in a dud, you've got Eovaldi and Pivetta. Like I said last night, it's impossible to try to predict how Cora is going to map these guys out with only two reliable starters. And you can't. And frankly, what we're seeing with Pivetta and Hauk every second or third day, that's unsustainable for an entire month of October. It's fine if you do it in the World Series because you're almost done. Season's almost over. But to go through the whole thing, I just think back to the Indians in 2016 where they had Kluber. They had Bauer, who hadn't established himself yet, looked like a busted prospect, had a 5-something ERA, and then Mike Tomlin. That was their 1-2-3 to go all through the – and they got to Game 7 of the World Series, but they ran out of gas. They ran out of gas, and they lost a lot of games in the World Series after being up 3-1. So hopefully we don't have to be in a situation where we do run out of gas, and we will have what's tonight, Monday. So you got 3 full days of rest going into Friday night. So Kike Hernandez, the surefire MVP of the series. He was 11 for 22. I think he might have hit 500, something like that.
Something insane like that. Yeah. And this is who Kike Hernandez is. And at times in the middle of the year, we may have been a little bit hard on him because he was struggling in the leadoff spot, wasn't producing a lot offensively, was kind of struggling. But I said it all along, this guy's a winning player. He's been on winning teams ever since he got to Major League Baseball. And he's had some really great playoff moments with the Dodgers. That experience is invaluable. And it's not something you can measure. It's not something, you know, I'm sorry, stat nerds, but there is no stat for postseason clutch. I know you all hate that, but there really isn't a stat to just prove how great Kike Hernandez really is, except for just look at his postseason numbers and look at how he performs in the moment. He just knows how to do it. And if the Red Sox are going to make any kind of run this postseason, Kike Hernandez is going to be so valuable. So he's paying off in spades right now.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. And it was an actual funny statistic because we all remember Nomar Garcia-Para for being able to get on base and do his thing. And there was one mention of Garcia-Para about how I believe he had 14 total bases in a series for the playoffs. And Kike Hernandez had 17 and counting. He was just on it. 3 doubles, a homer, and a single gets you 12 right there. I believe, right? 11, excuse me. And then the following day has another home run, pair of singles. He had 17 total bases in 2 games. That's, you're not going to see that again. That's incredible. I think back to all the offseason signings, and I think, when we got Renfro for $3 million, I'm like, what are we doing getting this guy for $3 million? Kike Hernandez was, I think, the only one this offseason that I was like, okay. Well, I mean, this is a good start. Finally, we're getting something. And this was really the only person during the offseason that I was really excited about. And it was a slow start. He got a lot of crap this year from all of us. I mean, we all kicked his face in at least once. And he just kicked all 5 of our faces in a matter of 2 games. Pivetta had a great appearance. But I find it very difficult to give this MVP trophy, title, whatever, to anyone outside of Kike Hernandez. And the second best player is still Kike Hernandez. That's how much he did for this team in the last 3 days. I'm super thankful that he's wearing, you know, a Red Sox jersey. I'm really happy I didn't have to see him wear yellow again.
I didn't hate the Kike signing, but it came so late in spring training that I wanted more than Kike because I thought the other signings were underwhelming. Had Kike been one of the earlier signings, I would have liked it a lot at the time. But when we're trying to get sold on Renfro being as viable as he ended up being, and I was never a believer in Dahlbeck, really. I mean, he kind of grew on me towards late August and September, but I just thought we had so many holes, and I didn't think Hernandez would be in any way a game changer, and he certainly was. I don't know the timeline, but he got injured, and then he came back after a rehab stint, and he was never the same. It was just an upward trajectory from that moment on, and He started cranking in that leadoff spot. His plate discipline improved. He was ahead of the count a lot of the times and not 0-2 as he was quite a bit before the injury. And he's been a beast in the postseason. And he won a World Series last year. He's, at this present time, a defending World Series champion in a way. So he's been here before, and for the rest of his career, he's probably going to be one of those guys in October. And we don't have a lot of depth, so I don't know that there's no reason to not foresee him as a guy on the Red Sox for, you know, probably 2 or 3 years beyond his current contract. I mentioned Dalbec. Safe to say he's not going to have a job at all. Cora just doesn't want to go to him. It's Schwarber. He did come into the game late. I don't think he had an at bat. But in fact, actually, he came in as a defensive replacement for one inning. And then Travis Shaw, who hasn't had an at bat in, I think, 6 weeks. I'm exaggerating, but it's been a while. And he got to bat over Dalbec. So,
I think that says a lot about how Cora feels towards Bobby Dalbec. And I don't think it's an indictment on Dalbec, the player in general. I think it's an indictment on Alex Cora doesn't trust young guys in big spots like this. And he'd rather have a veteran like Travis Shaw, who, like you said, you know, has barely picked up a bat the last couple of months and, you know, really isn't the same guy anymore, let's be honest. But Cora trusts him more in a big spot like that in a playoff game than he would Bobby Dalbec. So I agree. I don't think you're going to see a ton of Dalbec throughout the rest of the playoffs. Defensive substitution, maybe, if the Red Sox are up and Cora's feeling good about it. But I don't know. Tonight, you know, Cora might be regretting that. He might be saying, you know what? Maybe I don't want Schwarber's bat out of the lineup. Maybe I'm okay taking that risk at first base, because if these games get tight later on, I don't really want to have to pinch hit Travis Shaw for Bobby Dalbec. You know, it's sort of like you wasted Bobby Dalbec a little bit. You wasted a bench spot doing that. So I agree. I don't think you'll see much of Dalbec. If anything, Cora might be a little more willing to ride with Schwarber at first base for a little bit longer, because taking that bat out of the lineup, you don't want to do that right now.
You can't.
I'm so happy that Bobby Dalbec was almost like a non-factor, because I feel like of the things I got right outside of like Garrett Richards for most of it was Bobby Dalbec. When it matters most, he's non-existent. And that's really the only thing I've been right about, because this entire team has powered through every little sense of like, nah, Charlie, sorry, bro, sit down. It's been like that all season. But Bobby Dalbec, you want to talk about non-factor? I mean, it was like you did less than Travis Shaw. Travis Shaw was only visible for about 5 seconds. You did less than him, made more appearances than he did. You still couldn't get it done. Travis Shaw had one at bat. He's the only person that did more damage as far as, like, I think sluggage than Kike. And that's only because he had one at bat, one for one. Otherwise, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how anyone can make a case for Bobby Dalbec starting in any of these games. Unless there's, like, barring an injury, I don't see it happening. I just don't.
And in a way, you can kind of sit on whatever trade value he might have. And now I could be wrong. Maybe he doesn't get shipped. Maybe Bloom sees him as a long-term guy. That's a very closed up front office, so it's hard to know what their mindset really is. But he finished off the year as good as you could have wanted if your intentions were to possibly trade him. Because I think Bloom's phone is going to be ringing, perhaps not off the hook, but I think some teams are going to be like, what do you want for Dalbec? And maybe that's how you get your number 3 or 4 starter, or that high-end late-inning guy that you might want in your bullpen. So it'll be interesting, but like you guys were saying, Schwarber has to stay in there. Martinez has to stay in there. There's just no place out there for Dalbec, barring an injury, of course, which would be horrifying, because anyone lost that's going to result in him coming in would be a big one. And also, speaking of injuries, Rafi Devers has had hits in all four games. Can't keep his hand on the bat towards the end of his swing. Hits a three-run bomb today. And got the party started. And I thought we were going to run away with it. I didn't think we were going to be stopping at five runs. I thought we were going to put up seven, eight, nine runs by the sixth inning. And the momentum stopped. But dude has the clutch gene. I've been saying it all year. I've been comparing him to Big Poppy. I think their legacies are going to be somewhat similar in 10 or 12 years. Maybe he doesn't get all the way up there, but it's going to be a close comp. And Poppy talked to him at the start of the series and said, hey, you know, stop swinging out of your shoes. I'm paraphrasing, but told him to calm down and just, you know, put together some hits. And Devers had a pretty good series.
Yeah, JD Martinez meet Rafael Devers. Soft as baby poo meets tough guy who wants to win. Because JD Martinez could have DH'd on Thursday. I'm sorry. I still maintain that he could have. The fact that he backed out because he's got a boo-boo on his ankle. I know he can't run. That's not ideal. I get it. But, you know, dude, you're a power hitter. Just go in there and hit. DH. You don't have to play the field. None of that. Rafi Devers is playing the field with whatever this arm injury is. So it obviously hurts for him to swing and miss. It's got to hurt for him to throw. I can only imagine.
I wince when he throws because I figure.
Yeah. Like I figure he's going to go to throw and like it's going to bite at him and the throw's just going to, he's just going to airmail it. Like, but he's in there and he's doing it and he jacked a big home run tonight. And, you know, it's just, I've been saying, you know, you compare him to David Ortiz. I compare him to Adrian Beltre. Like, I think he's left-handed Adrian Beltre. Maybe he won't be as good defensively as Beltre was towards the end of his career, but similar kind of just big power swing, similar kind of build. And, you know, whether he's Ortiz or Adrian Beltre, either one, that's a, you know, they're both great players. They're both future Hall of Famers. So you can't go wrong with that. He was awesome. He was awesome in the series. It's great to see a guy like him power through an injury like that, because I know that he's had some questions thrown at him from Boston media as to, well, does Devers really care enough? You know, he's a little bit too loosey-goosey at times. Does he really want to win? I think Rafael Devers is showing you right now he wants to win. He wants to win, and he wants to be part of that win. So screw the arm pain. I don't care if it hurts. When I swing and miss, I'll just make contact and jack home runs instead. And then my arm won't hurt. So love it. Love what I'm seeing from Devers.
Devers has been one of my stars all season long. Even when he had a bad day, a bad weekend, a bad week, I could not put him in my dud section. I can't do it. And this is, again, why you need players that know that they're not at 100% to step up and say, yes, I got this. Even if he doesn't have a crazy hit in every single game, a home run every other is still good enough for me. This is still someone who, you know, defensively, Terry, you already hit it. You wince a little bit. I get nervous even when he's like kind of running to it because you don't know if he's going to airmail it, if it's going to be like Devers from the beginning of the year or just no problem. There was one play earlier tonight where the ball sailed over his head, and it's weird because the glove went above his head and he kept looking not at the ball. It almost looked like he kept looking straight, and the ball sailed right by his glove and sailed right over his head. And I remember thinking, what's happening right now? Wait, you know what? It's okay. He'll figure it out. And I gave him a pass. And there are certain players that get passes. And it's because I know that it might've been like a momentary blip, or he's probably thinking, okay, I got to think about what I'm going to do next. If Devers just remembers or just flips that switch just a little bit, all right, let me focus on task A before task B happens, I think you're going to get a more complete fielder. I think you're going to see someone who has a lot less errors at third base as well. But anybody who thinks that JD Martinez is the hitter to fear on this team, JD Martinez has just slipped into like the third slot, because right now it's Kike and Devers and friends. Even Hunter Renfro, who I expected to see a little bit more, it just wasn't there. And I thought I was going to see a light-up show for him against Tampa Bay. It just didn't happen.
Kike Hernandez, I thought it was, he was hitting 500 for the series, but it ended up being 450 with a 1329 OPS.
Devers. It was 500, Terry, before the game started, though.
Oh, was it? Okay.
He was 8 for 16. Yeah, he did incredible work.
Yeah, absolutely. And Devers was 333 for the series with a 1067 OPS. And I do know that coming into the series, he was a 311 hitter with, I think, a 373 OBP and a 511 slugging. So he's hitting right along those lines. Like, he's maintaining his past postseason success, Devers is. And you know what? We bagged on Martinez a little bit. 467 for the series with a 1,200. But he did play one game less than everyone, so we'll say that. But yeah, the core of your lineup hit pretty well. Bogaerts did kind of cool off the last few games. He did have one hit tonight, actually, but cooled off. So hopefully he finds it again on Friday. So let's wrap with this. Who do we want to play on Friday? Who do we want to be the winner on the other side of the bracket to play us in the ALCS? Houston or the Houston Astros or the Chicago White Sox?
So I want the White Sox. Now, the Red Sox against both these teams were under 500 during the regular season. You were 3-4 against Chicago. You were 2-5 against Houston. That doesn't really matter, though, because you were 8-11 against Tampa, and you just beat them 3-1. So I think that all kind of goes out the window once you reach the playoffs. Regular season records don't really matter. I want the White Sox because Houston still, I feel like they've got that it factor, that thing, that anger towards really the whole baseball world of being called cheaters all year and, you know, people mocking them with trash cans and all that. The other thing, too, is, and again, this is an intangible, so I know stat nerds hate this. Sorry, stat nerds, you're not going to like this segment because this is all about emotions and intangibles. But I think the Astros play for their manager. They play for Dusty Baker. I don't know that the White Sox play for Tony La Russa. Like, I think there's still that sort of we're winning in spite of La Russa thing going on there. And I know that none of them will say it out loud. And I know that, you know, we may not hear anything about that. But I can't imagine that Tim Anderson strides into the batter's box and goes, you know what? Yeah, Tony's over there looking at me. I want to hit one for him. I want to really do this for La Russa. Like, no, I think they're doing it for each other. And that gets you to a certain point, but it doesn't carry you all the way to the end. So, and I just think the White Sox are a little bit more of a flawed team. I think once you get to their starting pitching, they're vulnerable. Whereas the Astros, they're much more of a complete team, in my opinion. So they scare me a little bit more than the White Sox do. I think these are both really good teams that they're probably going to be tougher challenges than Tampa even will be. But I want the White Sox.
I am terrified of Chicago. I want no part of the White Sox at all. I think their starting rotation is disgusting. I'm terrified of Lucas Giolito. I'm terrified of Lance Lynn and Carlos Rodon. Lance Lynn is like a Paul Bunyan meets Joe Kelly mix. And what I say about that is Lance Lynn got ejected from a game for throwing his belt and like belt, hat, and glove at an umpire in the dugout and whatnot. There is nobody in Houston that has that kind of fire and thinks they're going to be able to get away with it. I agree with you on the manager bit. I don't think anybody likes Tony La Russa. I think everyone's over it. I think everyone was over Tony La Russa before the season started, all because he was an idiot before the season started. Dusty Baker's a likable guy. Kind of hard to hate him. When you look at the bats, and then, of course, the speculation that a couple of the players from Chicago said that Houston, you know, might have been stealing signs, a little bit unorthodox about the fact that, you know, they struck out 16 times in the one game in relation to 8, you know, 16 times in the first two games. You can't not wonder if something fishy is happening in Chicago. I also, you know, forget about Yoan Moncada. I like Tim Anderson. I didn't really like him before, but I like him. I think Jose Abreu is a nightmare. Luis Robert is a nightmare. I think the team is going to go places. And if they don't go that far this year, next year they're going to be a threat. Chicago was one of my teams before the year even started. I thought it was going to be the Chicago White Sox against the Los Angeles Dodgers. I think all of us had the Dodgers on the National League side. But Houston's bats, I'm not really that terrified of them anymore. I think they're old. I think they're like Tony La Russa. They're old. They're outdated. I think you've figured them out. Chicago, not so much. And some of these guys that are now starting to become healthy again, they're terrifying. You got three or four Chicago starters that can give you 5-6 innings, 100 plus pitches, and not be tired. Chicago's 100% the team that I do not want to face.
Like Jason said, they're both dangerous. We did have losing records to both of them. The team that scares me the most is the Houston Astros, because analytically, they know how to hit pitching, and they're especially going to know how to do it in games 4, 5, 6, and 7 when they've seen these guys. We saw Ryan Brazier tonight. Tampa had just seen him too much by that point, and he got slapped around. Houston's going to be doing that, and they're probably going to be doing it to our starting pitching. So unless we're going to have a high offensive series with a lot of runs scored each game, I'm afraid of Houston. I don't think the White Sox are that, you know, analytically advanced. I don't think they have the same nerds that Houston has. So I would much rather face the White Sox. And it would excite me to be able to hit off of Craig Kimbrel in as many eighth innings as they throw him out there. By the time Hendricks comes in the ninth, we're not winning at that point. But I think we could probably get to the Chicago bullpen. And we did thump Giolito pretty good earlier in the season. It was pretty early in the season, so not sure we can really take a lot from that in October. But I just – it's tough either way. It's tough either way, but give me the White Sox if possible. They're down 2-1, so it's a long shot that we're going to get our wish. But any final thoughts before we wrap?
Go Giants. Go Giants. I'm so sick of the Dodgers. God damn it. I'm so sick of them. Just please, Giants, take care of business. Get these. I'm so sick of seeing the fake LA fans, the celebrities that bring, you know, the brand new LA Dodgers hat that they bought on their way into the stadium that day because they don't watch baseball all year. We already got rid of one fake fan base in the Rays. Let's get rid of the other fake fan base in LA. Get them out.
All right, Jason, tell me how you really feel. I'm super pumped if the Giants can make it, because every single person slept on them. I used to live in Los Angeles. Naturally, I want to see LA teams advance. The only thing that I don't want to see advance is Mookie Betts, for obvious reasons. I don't think any of us want to see him.
Or David Price.
Continue.
Or David Price.
But who do you dislike more right now? Oh. David Price, or the shadow of him, or Mookie Betts?
I will always dislike David Price more than Mookie Betts.
That's an easy one for me.
That's an easy one. Yeah.
You know what? Let's go with that take. Let's go with that take, because, you know, I've been wrong about 36 or 37 times this year. We can make it 38, 39. It's all good. I'm the only one that doesn't want to face Chicago. I don't remember who you guys had for your American League finalist. I think you had Cleveland, Terry. Jason, do you remember who you had?
Oh, I had the Yankees. So,
okay, got it. All right. So, you know, two are knocked down here. It's going to be, you know, a dogfight. But you know what? Go Giants, go White Sox, and go Brewers, because Corbin Burns, I hope, pitches game 4. He spun a gem the first time around.
Yeah, Atlanta's up 2-1. And
yes, sir.
Of all people, the hero today of game 3, Jock Peterson, had a Ronald Acuna moment, and everybody laughed at that trade. But Atlanta might do it. I'm rooting for the Brewers. I don't hate Atlanta. I mean, they're a very likable team, I feel like. But I just don't think they're going to offer up much for whoever, whether it's the Dodgers or the Giants. And I think the Brewers can make it interesting. So I'm definitely – and I love the Brewers anyway. So I'm going to root for them regardless. But it's a better matchup. So, okay, we will wrap on that. We'll be back Thursday night to do an in-depth preview of the ALCS. So we will see you then. Everyone have a good rest of your week. Take care.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com apply.